Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Christy reminded me before I start the sermon, I should say that this next week I will be in Okoboji. I'll be coming back for the funeral, of course, but I'll be taking a bunch of high schoolers to Okoboji. We got six of them going. So keep me in your prayers and know that that's where I am on some of the days of the week this week. But over the next few weeks, I'm going to be focusing on the book of 1 Corinthians as we go through the Bible in a year. And more specifically, I'm going to be focusing in on chapter 13. Now, you might not have a lot of chapters of the Bible memorized, but I bet you that a lot of you know this book quite well. It might have been at your wedding, or you've probably heard it at several weddings along the way. And so when we think of this Bible passage from 1 Corinthians 13, we think about it talking about a husband and a wife, but believe it or not, that's not the original context. That's not what St. Paul was talking about. He was actually talking about our church community, our faith community, and this is how we're called to love one another. Of course, it also applies to married couples, so there's nothing wrong with that, but it's interesting to think about it with this different perspective that it's talking about the people you sit next to on a Sunday morning. How can we better love them? Specifically today, I'm going to be talking about what it means when it says love is patient. What does patience look like in our life with others? In our love of God and His love for us. How might patience teach us to love the people in our lives better? Because I think patience, in many ways, as a Christian, means to give control to God, or maybe better, realize that God's got the control and you don't. As I was running recently up at Okoboji last week when I was there with junior high kids, I was thinking over a problem in my life, and it was a big problem, and I kept on thinking the different variables and how to deal with it, and it was just getting way too complicated, and so finally I was thinking, God, you know, you got to take this problem. It's too big for you. And I felt like God was saying, well, sure, I'll take your big problem. He said, by the way, I take little problems too. You know, and it made me think about how I think I can take care of the little problems. You know, the ones I can figure out a way through this. I don't need God's help. The big problems I need is help, but not the little ones. But that's not very helpful, really. I may think I can come up with a solution to small problems in my life, but maybe sometimes it's better if I wait on God to take care of them as well. Patience means that sometimes we need to wait and let God work on things before we get to it ourselves. So I think especially when we think about how do we love other people, well, when you see a problem in someone else's life, I think a lot of times we say, well, if that were me, I would fix it this way. I could fix this really fast. Maybe I should even get some helpful suggestion to help them to fix it really fast. And maybe that isn't the best way of loving other people. Perhaps we need to be sending up a prayer to God instead of trying to change others, especially trying to change them quickly. Perhaps our prayers should first be pray for our own patience while God works in their life. This kind of love might not only strengthen your relationship with that person, but also your relationship with God, because you know that you're waiting on Him to work and to let you know when it's appropriate or when it's a good time to speak up or to help. One time, Christy and I were watching a show. It was like a documentary. It was a cooking show on Netflix. And the chef, she was explaining some common mistakes that people make when they're cooking. And one of them is that we get in a rush and we just start cooking before we let the pan get hot. So she was saying, before you even put in the oil, you heat up your pan to where you want it to be, like medium-high heat or something like that. Or actually, she said, do everything on medium because you don't need to be in a rush. But she said, heat it up to medium and then put in the oil. And let your oil heat up first. And then you can put in the food that you want to cook. And she said, believe it or not, it's going to take about the same amount of time to cook. And it's going to cook a lot better just because you weren't in so much of a rush. In the same way, when we try to love someone patiently, we allow them to come to their best answers on their own rather than thinking they're going to get there faster with our help. You may have heard the phrase, don't just sit there, do something. But maybe as Christians, we should look at that a little differently and realize that sometimes the phrase should be, don't just do something, just sit there. Or maybe just sit there and pray, right? Pray that God would work first and let us know when it's appropriate for us to join in. Patience also involves forgiveness when we're talking about how to best love other people. When you love someone, you show them grace when they make mistakes, even if they make many mistakes. Even if, as I said, we think about this in our husband-wife relationships or our family relationships, but even in our relationships with the people in our church. When St. Peter asked Jesus how many times he ought to forgive, he thought 7 times was a lot, okay? 7 times. And I have to agree with them. I mean, if someone does something rude to me 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, and asked me to forgive them every time, I'm thinking, that's a lot of times to have to forgive you for doing the same thing. Why can't you learn, you know? 7 times. But Jesus says that, he expresses God's limitless patience by encouraging forgiveness not just 7 times, but 77 times. And here it's helpful to recognize that there's the number 7 in the Bible is symbolic. I mean, does it mean we're supposed to forgive 77 times? Sure. But even 78 would be okay because 7 represents a complete number. So when you think of the 7 days of creation, it's like the entire creation is complete after 7 days. Or in Revelation, at the very end of the Bible then, we've got the book is written to the 7 churches. And there are 7 churches, but it's really symbolizing to all the churches. So if there's a church that needs to hear this, it's written for them as well. It's symbolic. So 7 times 7 or 77 is saying not just complete, but complete, the limitless. He's saying there's never a time where you wouldn't be willing to forgive if someone asks for forgiveness. So this is the same type of unlimited forgiveness that God shows us all the time. And because God is so patient with us, we're expected to show that same kind of patience to the people in our lives. If we want to love others better, to focus on being patient with them through this act of forgiveness. And I think that patience, what's hard about it is it means we have to trust God when things don't look the way that we want them to, or when it doesn't really look like anything's happening that's moving it closer to what we want to happen. Psalm 37 says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. It says soon wither, soon die away. I think when we read that, we think, yeah, God, I trust you to do this. But what do you mean by soon? Because soon, in my mind, might be very different than what I'm seeing that's happening in the world around me. And I get very impatient with this. Being patient, though, involves a recognition that God has a different perspective on both time and on the purpose for our waiting. And we can see both of these issues in 2 Peter in this book. According to 2 Peter, we read, when with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So we're seeing that his perspective is very different than ours. What seems like a long time to us might not be that long in his eyes. Sometimes we need to be a lot more patient with other people, when even though we feel like they should be figuring something out a lot more quickly than they are. Because our time is so much different than God's expectations. Maybe a month seems like plenty of time to us to deal with a problem, but God has a different time scale than we do. On the other hand, sometimes we think something should be dealt with very quickly because it's not that big of a deal, when in God's eyes, maybe this is the time to wait, to be patient for this to be dealt with. In 2 Peter, when Peter says, some of you are waiting impatiently for Jesus to return, and you wonder, why is God taking so long? And what he says is, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So there's a reason behind the waiting. It's not like he's taking his sweet time just because he, you know, it's a matter of, you know, 1,000 years in a day, this kind of thing. It's saying, I have a reason for wanting to wait. I have a reason for not coming more quickly, and that is, I want to give everyone the chance to repent and to come to me. And I think if you think about your own life, it's a little bit more easy to be patient. Do you always come up with the perfect answer to a problem after one day of thinking about it, or after a month of dealing with it, or even after a year? Sometimes the solutions, the best solutions, don't come for quite some time. And we're willing to be patient with ourselves when these problems come up, because we recognize we can't always come up with a solution right away. And loving others means that sometimes we need to show them the patience we easily give ourselves. So Chrissy recently sent me an interesting, there's a passage, I guess, or a post from a ministry called Proverbs 31 Ministries. And I believe that this shows the difficulty of being patient when we see other people that we love suffering, but also shows us the importance of waiting for God to fulfill his purpose in their life. It's a longer reading, but I think it's really great, and I hope that you'll bear with me, and I hope that you enjoy it as much as I did. Here's what I'll read. I would have pulled Joseph out of that pit, out of that prison, out of that pain. I would have cheated nations out of the one God would use to deliver them from famine. I would have pulled David out of Saul's spear-throwing presence, out of the caves he hid away in, out of the pain of rejection, and I would have cheated Israel out of a God-hearted king. I would have pulled Esther out of being snatched from her only family, out of being placed in a position she never asked for, out of the path of a vicious, power-hungry foe. And I would have cheated a people out of the woman God would use to save their very lives. I would have pulled Jesus off of the cross, off of the road that led to his suffering and pain, off of the path that would mean nakedness and beatings, nails and thorns. And I would have cheated the entire world out of a Savior, out of salvation, out of an eternity filled with no more suffering and no more pain. And oh, friend, I want to pull you out. I want to change your path. I want to stop your pain. But right now, I know I would be wrong. I would be out of line. I would be cheating you and cheating the world out of so much good, because God knows. He knows the good this pain will produce. He knows the beauty this hardship will grow. He is watching over you and keeping you even in the midst of this. He is promising you that you can trust him, even when it all feels like more than you can bear. So, instead of trying to pull you out, I'm lifting you up. I'm kneeling before the Father, and I'm asking him to give you strength, to give you hope. I'm asking him to protect you and to move you when the time is right. I'm asking him to help you stay prayerful and discerning. I'm asking him how I can best love you and be a help to you. I am believing he is going to use your life in powerful and beautiful ways, ways that will leave your heart grateful and humbly thankful for this road you've been on. So again, that was from Proverbs 31 Ministries by a lady named Kimberly Henderson. And I bet if you look it up, you could find it. I think it's just wonderful. Because when we think of being patient as we're waiting for other people's lives to get better, we're really waiting on God. And we're having to trust him. And we really need to be praying for our own patience to wait for him to act in their lives. Loving others often means learning to be both patient with them and with God as he works in their lives. And I want to remind you that the most loving relationships that we have really are based on God's love for us. When we love others best, it's when our love is reflecting the love that God shows us. How many times in your life, personally, has God shown you patience as you're dealing with a particular sin that you just can't seem to overcome? And yet, because of that unconditional love, you know he's never going to forsake you, and it builds that trust that you have with him. So when you show that same kind of patient love for the people in your life, how can it not but help build your relationship with them as well? God is so patient and forgiving with us. He forgives our sins over and over again. And he doesn't shame us when we've messed up again. He is always so patient with us as we are coming to know him more and more and knowing the richness of a life of faith. No matter how long it takes, he is willing to wait for us to come to know him more fully. And as soon as you and I recognize this great gift that God gives us, I hope that we are all inspired to love others in our life and love others in our church with that same kind of patient, unconditional love. Because this patient love can truly bless not just you and your relationship with other people in your life, with your spouse, with the members of your church, but I think it especially can help us grow in the most important relationship that you have. Patient love for others, patient love for God, can help us to grow and recognize how patient God is with us and to help us to learn to trust him more and more, not just in our lives, but in the lives of those we love. Amen.